Welcome to the Customer Success Playbook Podcast pregame show, where we talk about our customer success theme for the month. I'm Roman Tribon, and along with me is my co-host, Kevin Metzger. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, Roman. Excited. Been up since 5 a.m. this morning. Got my workout in and cleaned the kitchen. My wife is away with my daughter for the weekend at a cheer comp, and I'm ready to rock and roll on the pregame show here.
Yeah, a productive morning so far. I was going to ask if 5 a.m. was intentional or you just woke up, but I know, you know, that's awesome. I was up early as well. We the same situation, Kev. Wife and daughter out of town. The dog and I went hiking this morning. I got some laundry in, Kev. That's going to be an all day sort of affair, I think, over here. And I'm excited to get going. So the topic, Kev, I know you're excited for it. You want to be the give the grand reveal?
Yeah. So this month we're talking KPIs or key business metrics for customer success. Excited about it. I've actually been thinking about this a bit already, trying to think down the path of what are KPIs, why do we use them, and really started thinking about what's the most important, and I'm not going to use the term KPI here yet, but what's the most important metric for measuring the success of customer success. And Roman, I'm going to throw it over to you and ask you for the input. I was telling you this morning I wanted to use this to bounce some ideas around. So let's start there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you gave me a little bit of heads up that we were going to do this. I like the question, Kevin, and I wish I had a silver bullet answer for you. I think the first answer that comes to mind is revenue growth. I think revenue like jumps out to me as revenue. But again, in customer success, you know, I think that's going to vary from organization to organization. But I think of it this way, Kev. If customers are successful, you're bringing them on, they're utilizing your solution, right? That's driving revenue. You are continually delivering value, so their average contract value is going up. You're messaging that success back out to the market. You're getting new leads, you're driving new business, and your revenue growth. Like, that's ultimately why I think you need a customer success department. You need to grow revenue, right? So go ahead, I'll pause there and get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I agree that revenue growth is a component of this metric. I actually think there's a higher level metric that is, and revenue growth is a component. Another component of the metric is customer churn, which makes sense, right? Because if you're churning, your revenue growth may not grow as fast. But I'll open it back up before I give an answer and see.
Wait! You can't tease the metric. What's the metric? The higher level metric.
Well, I'm going to say, I want to see if you have any guesses on it.
I mean,
and I'm going to go into one other metric before I talk about what I think is the highest.
No, I'm not going to guess. I want to hear what you have.
All right. Fair enough. So I think it's customer lifetime value. And I believe that what you've got to look at is all of the components that drive customer lifetime value. And I think what we want to do is optimize customer lifetime value. Because if you're optimizing your customer lifetime value, then you should be driving revenue up for the customer, right?
Yeah.
So you've got you'll have an existing customer lifetime value. Every other metric we measure should feed back to that customer lifetime value. The other measurement that's really important, but this is important for the business, not necessarily one that customer success drives, is actually, I think, on the sales and marketing side, and that's the cost of acquisition, right? Yeah. So you've got cost of acquisition, and customer lifetime value. And when you look at those two metrics from a business, overall business perspective, that should drive your profitability. If your cost of acquisition is low enough and your customer lifetime value is high enough, then you're driving, ideally, you know, a profitable business.
The profit has to be in there. As you're talking, you have to measure the profit side of it, right? Because you can grow, even with me saying growing revenue, Kev, even with me saying that answer, the first thing, as soon as it left my mouth was, you can't grow cost along with revenue, right? So, so you're exactly right, right? Profit has to play into it, right? And then, yes, customer lifetime value. I mean, I can get behind that for sure.
So, and then a lot of the metrics that we talk about already in NCS, like churn, like the annual contract rate, right? And I believe most of them are feeding back towards that. And then we talk about net promoter scores, and we talk about net promoter scores is an interesting one. As an MPS, what are you driving from MPS? Right, you're getting an idea as to whether or not your customers will provide recommendations for you from MPS, and if they do, you could be driving down cost of acquisition.
So this is coming from a guy who had a CX title for years, Kev.
Yeah.
Launched NPS programs like relationship surveys, transactional surveys. And honestly, I have NPS over the years, now to me, is it's a measurement. I honestly think the most valuable thing of even doing an NPS program is the actual verbatim feedback and the raw feedback you get to drive change. The numbers and all that, like, and how they correlate, like, does a net promoter correlate back? If you have tons of scale, maybe you can do some analysis around that and maybe find some insights. But to me, it's like, if you're not taking that feedback and actioning it, that's the issue. So that for me, NPS is like it's a metric. Is it a key metric for me? Like, it's more of like a business metric where I'm like, I want to keep a pulse on that. I want to use some feedback from that, but I'm not probably going to lift it up at the highest for me because I don't know. It's challenging, right? Like, just even the, like, whose opinion matters and how are you doing it across all these different customers? I think it's difficult.
Yeah. And I find that problem too. And the same thing. Do you look at CSAT the same way? I mean,
same. All of that.
Yeah.
In the same bucket.
I do too. Although I do think that there's a component of MPS and CSAT that, if you're getting, first of all, it's got to be targeted at the right people, which is part of the problem, right? So you've got user experience, and then you've got executive experience, and they don't always correlate.
And
I think that's a lot of the CSAT type stuff goes to end users, right? I had an issue. I had to deal with the issue. What's my satisfaction with that?
There's value. I don't want to say there's not value. You want to keep a pulse on how your customers are experiencing the business, how they're doing, what do they need? Are they seeing value continuously? Are there any issues in the processes, right? That's all healthy. But yeah. If I have 100 customers and I have one customer that's 50% of my revenue and they're not happy and all my other 99 customers love us and my NPS score is like 99, what does that matter? If I lose that one customer, I'm screwed. So yeah. That metric is important. Yes, I like it. I think it's important because if you're not talking to your clients and getting feedback, then what are you doing? You're like in a vacuum, right? And so, so you have to do it. But I think I go back to the revenue, the profitability. You know, like if you even think like, you know, I know we talked about last month onboarding, right? Like onboarding, what's your time to billing, like, you know, time to first value, like from a customer perspective, but then also from a company perspective, what's the time to bill? Like, when are we starting to get that license revenue, right? Like, what is our cost of onboarding? You know, so all of that, you have to keep a pulse on all of that, right? How am I doing against this segment versus other segments, right? You have to But I'm going to put some of that, you know, there's the key ones where I think as a leadership team, we all got to share and like directionally look at. And then underneath there, like double click, there's other metrics that, you got to just make, look at, understand what's happening. But they're not, they can't, if they're all KPIs, nothing's a KPI, right? Like, KPI, then, you're, nothing's key.
Yes, I agree with that. But again, those are, and I agree, they're measurements. Are they, but the question is also, do they contribute to the top level? And I kind of agree with you on the Net Promoter Score and the CS. Couple other thoughts that I had, and I like that you brought to the onboarding, because that was one of the things. Measurement of your processes is important. So what is it, what are the indicators that you're doing well in your process? So you're on, whether it's be your onboarding process or your, post onboarding engagement, process, you're going to want to look at those things as well. But to me, the key drivers, right, are your, again, your cost of acquisition, which we may or may not have, you got a cloud forming over your shoulder there, man, from the Harry Potter background.
Casting a KPI spell on me or something. I don't know.
But and then the long-term value. And I think what my my article will probably go into is how various aspects play into that. One of the other things that I was thinking about is you got your ideal customer profiles, right? Can you measure CLV against your ideal customer profile and see customers that fall outside of your customer profile? Does that impact the lifetime value based off of maybe how the different segments are? Mm-hmm. And so looking at CLV from that perspective as well.
All of this, Kev, is like, metrics is a great topic, man, because it's all, there's metrics for all levels of the organization, and there's metrics for, all roles and responsibilities, right? And yeah. So like even on the CLV, and you're right, do you have the right target profile? That's important, right? Like, that's insight that you need as a business to drive behavior. Like, who do you target? Like, but then there's like the day-to-day CSM, right? Like, yeah, they're not doing that. Like, they shouldn't be doing that. They need to be focused on their, like, what performance mean to them. But it all has to drive up. If it doesn't weave together, like if the date, like if the CSM's measurements isn't ultimately feeding the top metrics,
yep,
then there's where misalignment happens. And that's where, I don't know. I go back to, like, I try to keep it simple, because KPIs can get crazy. You've seen it probably. There's so much data or so many charts, and it's like paralysis. Like, you can't take action, right? And so I go, like, is it revenue or is it cost? A lot of it is measuring revenue, cost, and yes, keep it simple like that. And then, is it actionable? Like, if we're measuring this, or, you're showing me a report or a metric, what does it mean? Like, what can I do with it? If I don't know what I can do with it, then I don't know why we're measuring it. Like, I need to be able to take action. Like, yeah, is it good? Is it bad? If it's bad, what are we doing? How do we double click into and find out? Like, but I've seen so many places where there's all these metrics, and I'm like, what does it mean? They're like, I don't know. It just goes up month over month. They're like, I don't know. It's there. We measure it. I'm like, okay, I guess. I mean,
well, that's one of the things, and this is one of the areas where I really believe ML and AI, are going to significantly make a difference, because you will be able to do analysis with the ML and AI applications. Yeah, so this is where I think AI and ML come and play a huge role in not just customer success, but in all business, right? And being able to look at this data, both structured and unstructured data, in which we maybe already take measurements on the structured side, stuff that we're not taking measurements in, and looking at, hey, what are we doing that might be impacting our revenue, might be impacting our costs? Is there a way that we can optimize to really gain, one, measure better so that we know we're measuring the right things, but two, when we're doing this measurement, now we see the impact. We can get a direct corollary.
AI isn't going to be, I mean, come on, just the amount of time, like this, the analysis itself, just to get the data to a point where it's, you can actually analyze it. That's a key. The ability for them to actually analyze it is key, right? Like saying, hey, we're seeing X, Y, and Z, right? I think that's important. Kev, even as honestly, this is what I'm doing after we wrap up this show. I have to like come up with, like, I'm looking more and more into our capacity utilization, right? And it's complex. I don't have a system. I know there's, and I'm probably setting myself up, Kev, for a bunch of sales calls after this, but I'm sure there's systems that can do it. I need to do it like back in napkin Excel pretty quick, right? So what do? I go in the AI, like, hey, here's what I need. Here's what I know about current processes, current time frame, blah, da, 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 da. I need a couple variables in Excel, and then build it for me. Like, it's like a back of napkin for now. Like, that would have taken me like all day to build that before. Now it'll take me 30 minutes maybe, just to, you know, and it's probably more of me just making sure it's right, and I'll probably add color and stuff I don't need to do. So it's amazing.
I would just, if you haven't used it yet, I don't, because I had veered away from it for a while. I didn't find Bard to be all that great, but I played with Gemini a little bit this week, and I'm seeing, you know, Google, I'm seeing some much stronger results out of that. Something you might want to take a look at when you're playing this afternoon or morning.
Yes. Yeah. The heads up.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it's available yet or whether you're using it in Copilot yet, but Microsoft Copilot is releasing I just saw this morning, and I haven't played with it myself, so I don't know whether it's out. But yeah. They've released an enhancement for Excel.
So. So it's funny you say that. I have a meeting next week with one of our guys, Microsoft engineers. I got a Copilot license, like souped up. So one of the things they said is, this thing is amazing on Excel. And I was like, well, lucky for me, I have a bunch of Excel data we can actually go try it. So yeah, I'm excited for it. Hey, Kev, so who do we have coming on the show this month?
Yeah, so we've got Chad Estes. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And Chad's a senior VP over at this company, his name's
Canvas AI, isn't it?
Canvas, thank you. Canvas AI. And very excited to have Chad on. I've heard Chad speak before. Super bright guy. I'm not exactly sure what the date we'll be publishing the interview with Chad is yet. Waiting on final confirmation. So, very excited about having Chad. Chad's super, super bright guy. He was at Maxio before Canvas and
Fast Optics. Yeah, his background is incredible. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having him on. And yeah, this KPI topic, man, it's good to talk to someone else about it, because I'm already, you know, as we're talking through it, I've probably gone in 8 different directions just between our time chatting from Metric. So, all right, Kev, anything else for our audience before we wrap up the pregame show?
Keep on playing.